The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today. After recording artist Jackie Velasquez faced heartbreaking struggles and fell from stardom, she asked God, why me?
Because he wasn't mad at me. He didn't chastise me even when I was angry at him. It wasn't that. He was just waiting for me to ask the right question. Why not me? And it's at that point that I could feel him pick me up, dust me off, and say, Jackie, now it's time to fight.
Hi, I'm Sheila Walsh. Welcome to Life Today. We're so glad that you're joining us. I remember some time ago, I was in Nashville and I was getting ready to do some event and somebody said to me, have you heard her? And I'm like, heard who? And they said, this amazing new artist, and she's like 16 or something. And they played me a cut and I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Well, I'm really happy to tell you that today, she's here with us. And so, Jackie Velasquez, it's such a joy to have you here.
Oh, are you kidding me? I wouldn't miss it for the world. You're amazing. And you're just as beautiful as ever. Like, from the first time I saw your face on the cover of a cassette, you look exactly the same.
At least it wasn't an 8-track. Thank you, Jesus.
You're not old enough for that.
So take us back. Were your early days involved in music?
Well, yes, my dad was a pastor up until the time I was 9 years old. So then he became an evangelist, which is basically a pastor who travels to different churches and preaches.
Yeah.
So because I was a little girl, I was 9 years old, I was the last kid left at home. They had to take me with them. So my mom and dad took me with them on the road. We traveled the country. I was homeschooled in the backseat of an 85 Honda Accord.
Wow.
With a TV VHS AC/DC converter, you know, little TV with videotapes that I would watch all my classes and sit in the back. And then, of course, I'd finish up school and I'd look forward to those 6 hours of traveling in a car, watching school on tape, and I would watch movies. And so I remember I used to have this beautiful picture of what life was like. Mm. Like what ninth graders, like what junior high looked like, what high school looked like. So I'd watch movies and I would get these concepts of what, you know, what it would be like to go to prom and, you know, really romanticize all of this stuff and, you know, kind of envision and dream about what my life would be like if I were in school or when I grew up and I wasn't, you know, in the backseat of a Honda Accord.
Yeah, that's a little different than most of us. But I'm just wondering, what happened? How did that big break come when you were so young? Did somebody hear you and think, oh my gosh, this girl is gifted by God?
Well, because we were traveling so often, we were going from, you know, Sunday morning church, Sunday night church, and then going to a different state to Wednesday night church. By the time I was 13, my parents were doing the adult services and I was doing like the youth services and like youth kind of group stuff. So then I guess it was when I was 13, somebody heard me, sent a videotape back to Nashville to what would end up becoming my manager. And I was 13. So that was, you know, a crazy time. When I was 14, they flew my family up to Nashville. They flew me and my parents up to Nashville and offered me a record deal. When I was 14, I started working on the first project, which was Heavenly Place.
Yeah.
That came out when I was 16. So that was a couple-year artist development situation.
Sure.
So that was 2 years worth. That came out when I was 16. I hit the road, traveling, again, nonstop, 300 dates a year.
Oh, my gosh.
300 dates in the first year.
Wow.
And there are only 365 days in the year.
Usually.
Some days, depending on COVID. So 300 dates a year, and I just, it was a lot.
Did you know at that point that this was going to be a huge deal? Did you have a sense of, you know, God's about to throw doors open?
I think when you're 16 years old, maybe if I would have been more mature, I would have had that sense. But I was, at this point, just doing what I was told to do. because, like, hey, you have a flight at 4 a.m.? Okay, I'll wake up. Just kind of going about. My heart was in the right place because I loved, I loved the concept of being able to be a role model for young, you know, for young girls.
Sure.
But I also had this kind of lack of understanding as to what I was really walking into, because it all felt like a huge blur. Mm-hmm. Like, there was so much happening so fast, so quick. Like, there wasn't time to enjoy the success because you had to move on to the next thing.
Wow.
Because by the time I was 18, I just signed my record deal with Sony Discos. So I was making a record every year, one in English, one in Spanish, one in English, one in Spanish. And then one year I had to make two Christmas records, one in English, one in Spanish.
Wow.
So that was like a big time frame. But you know, what was interesting is that, you know, God is so good and so full of grace, because that could have turned into so many other, you know, poor choices. But because I was so busy, there wasn't that option, if you will.
Who has time for poor choices?
No, it was just go. Just
wow.
Go. But then when I was about, when I was 23, I accidentally got married. And
that's okay. An interesting phrase. Accidentally got married. What do you mean by that?
It means I had done a film called Chasing Poppy that was basically a film that a lot of people were not very happy that I did. It was a PG film. It was with 20th Century Fox Films. It was my first audition, and I got the part with Sofia Vergara and Rosalind Sanchez and Eduardo Verasti. It's a lot of...
Boom. Wow, that was beautiful.
Oh, thank you. That was really difficult. So I got the part, and a lot of people didn't want me to do it. I had a lot of... My whole life, I'd always had yes people around me, because I was always paying the bills.
Sure.
All of a sudden, you know, I had some no people around me. So my manager was like, I don't think you should do it. My mom said, I don't think you should do it. My boyfriend at the time, well, he was easy to take care of because I could just break up with him. He told me not to do it. So, but I said that they were all wrong, that I needed to do it because it was an open door that God was walking me through. So I did. It was kind of like somebody handing me the keys to a sports car, mm-hmm. but I didn't know how to drive.
Wow.
So I did the film. People started canceling events. Radio stations started dropping my music. So in my DIY attempt to fix a poor choice on my part, what do? You make another poor choice. I accidentally got married and intentionally divorced about a year and a few months later. He was a nice guy, just wasn't my guy. And
what did that do to your image within the industry when you were seen as this young, an amazingly gifted girl, and then A, they don't like the movie, and then B, they don't like the fact you got married, and then C, they don't like the fact you got divorced. But what did that do to you inside?
I felt bad that I let people down. I felt guilty that I let people down. Mm. The little girls that used to, you know, wanted to be like me when they grew up, I felt like that burden, that like heaviness of, yeah, I'm sorry. And I can't go to each and every one of you and tell you I'm sorry for the poor choices that I've made. I don't make the same ones. But so what do you do in those situations? You run. So I ran.
Did you go to London?
Yeah, I moved to London, England, had a flatmate from Scotland.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Dundee, she's from Dundee. She was crazy. She was fun, though. She was funny. And so
where were you with the Lord at that point, Jackie?
You know, what's funny, during that time, I kind of just was ignoring. Because I was ignoring what people were saying about me, what people might be saying to me. I just wanted to just not think about anything. I wanted to be normal. So I went to school out there. I went to school to learn Spanish in England.
Well, of course, where else would
just
one go?
Just process that. So I went to school and I did. I got, my Spanish really got really pretty good. So, but then I started missing my mom. So I got a flat downtown, well, no, a condo in America, a condo downtown. And I got a phone call from a boy, the same boy that I had broken up with, when I was making the movie Chasing Poppy, the one that told me to say no, that said to not make the movie because it was a poor choice, he called me and asked me out on a date. So I said, okay, yeah. So he happened to be the lead singer for the band called Salvador.
Mm, I love that band.
Me too. Who knew? So he asked me out, and about 4 months later, we got married.
Wow.
We got married in December 2006. Our first son was born November 3rd, 2007.
Wow. That's a lot happening in a short amount of time.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. But I think because we had known before.
Yeah.
But because of my selfishness and my poor choices, not willing to, you know, listen to wisdom or... Yeah.
Did you feel at that point as if that career-wise that was over? How did God begin to turn your heart around to realize, hey, Jackie, you are not defined by this or that. You are mine.
I think it took the realization. It took my husband. Mm-hmm. It took my husband.
He's such a good guy.
He is a good guy. Mm-hmm. It took me feeling so broken and feeling like I'm worthless, mm-hmm. which we all know is not the case logically.
Sure.
But sometimes it's hard to get this and this to connect, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
The fact that he would ask me out again after me basically being embarrassment thing, and I'm a divorcee, I mean, I have nothing, no good reputation to bring to this awesome person. It's a likely story that he would ever want to be with me, mm-hmm. but I think that it was beautiful to see what God does and how he redeems.
Yeah.
He redeems us and our poor choices. Sometimes our dreams, we think that this is what I'm meant to do. This is my calling. But it's so easy to get confused with our dreams and God's calling. So the fact that God can redeem all these things and redeems poor choices, he can turn what you have intended for good but turned into evil, he can turn it for good.
Yeah.
So it takes sometimes some pain in the pruning process.
That's so true.
And so it was my husband. And then, of course, fast forward, the baby being born. And,
yeah, Soren, and, firstborn.
No, Zealand is the firstborn.
Oh, Zealand's the firstborn?
Yeah, Zizi, Zealand.
Okay.
He's about to be 13 years old.
Oh, my gosh, how did that happen?
I don't know, it's gross.
So when you have your second child, because I think one of the things I found most poignant about your story is when you've experienced pain yourself in your childhood, you do not want that for your child.
Absolutely.
So how old was Soren when you thought there might be something that I need to pay attention to here?
Well, okay, so for me as a child, I wanted so much to be like everybody else. So, I'd gone through my parents' divorce and all that. I was 19. But more than anything, I wanted my kids to have like a normal life, like
sure.
a normal childhood, not to be homeschooled in the back of the seat of a car, FYI. But when Zealand was born and then the baby was born, Soren being the youngest, we start noticing that he wasn't hitting the same milestones. Yeah. No, he was hitting milestones that his brother had not hit as quickly. So Zealand was, we just noticed that our older son was a little behind, but we just thought that maybe Soren, because they're only 14 and a half months apart, maybe Soren just had something to look towards in Zealand mm-hmm. as like, you know, this is what I should be doing because that's my big brother. But then when we realized that Zealand, being the older brother, was just kind of really behind his peers, in those situations, I really like to bury my head in the sand. But I couldn't because he was, you know, 2 and a half. Or no, he was 19 months old. He was the baby still. So we had Tennessee Early Intervention come to the house, and they did some tests with the Zealand. And they said, well, Mr. and Mrs. Gonzalez, you know, Zealand is what is delayed. He's got a pervasive developmental delay, which I was fine with.
Sure.
You know, I'm fine with it. That's fine. He'll catch up. He's my baby. So time went on. Kindergarten year rolls around. And little brother's still at preschool, you know, 2 days a week. Zealand starts kindergarten year. And I learn a word that I've never heard before. And it's called IEP, Individualized Educational Program. So I'm like, ooh, this is awesome. IEP, he, like, what does that mean? That means he's going to get help at school. Mm-hmm. They're going to remind him to get his work done. That means he's going to get extra attention. He's going to get speech therapy, occupational therapy. We're talking a red carpet of stuff to help my son to get him caught up. Okay? That's kindergarten year. Second grade year comes along. Now, baby brother's in kindergarten, and I'm telling you what, at this point, I'm a real mom for both my kids. I'm on the board at my kids' school. I am in it to win it because these kids are going to have a normal life. Mom on the PTA. Their mom's going to be the room mom. I'm going to be like, you know, super cool, awesome, like normal, cool mom. Well, it's probably not cool, but anyway. So second grade, they have a meeting with us. They call in pediatrician. They call in the people from the school district. They call in the who's who of everybody. There are like 20 people in this boardroom. And this is the end of second grade. So they tell us, we have talked with a pediatrician. We've talked with the counselors. We've talked with the therapist. Zealand is autistic.
Wow.
I'm like, you mean artistic? Well, no, he's autistic. So I just remember thinking, okay, what do I do with this? Because that's not the dream I had for him. Because the dream for Zealand was going to be, I mean, I remember when I was pregnant with him, people prayed. Max Lucado prayed for him. And he said, this boy is going to have a ministry. Hmm. How can he have a ministry if he can't communicate properly?
Yeah.
So now you're telling me that my dreams, like all the movies I watched as a kid, thinking what life would look like, because I wasn't living it, surely my kids are going to have this kind of
sure.
Like, most popular guy in high school, like going to be a football player, date the most popular girl in school, the cheerleader is going to be just like what I pictured, just like what everything, you know, what I've always dreamed of for my life and for my children. But he can't do that if he's autistic. And how is he going to teach his little brother how to be cool, how to shave, how to be cool, how to talk to a girl on the phone? How is he going to do that if he's autistic? So I got angry with God. I was very angry with God. For about 6 months, I yelled at him. And I said, how could you? How could you? He didn't say anything to me during those 6 months. I kept asking him, why me? Why me? Why me? And it took this. It took me changing my posture and asking the right question. Why not me? Why not me? It's only then that I started asking that question that I could hear the voice of God again. Because he wasn't mad at me. He didn't chastise me even when I was angry at him. It wasn't that. He was just waiting for me to ask the right question. No. Why not me? And it's at that point that I could feel him pick me up, dust me off, and say, Jackie, now it's time to fight. It's time to fight for your son. Because you see, God could see something in me I couldn't see in myself.
Yeah.
That is strength and bravery. I could not see that in myself.
No.
So now, you know, Zealand is going to be 13, and little brother has taken on the role of something so incredibly beautiful. God prepared his heart long before we knew he was going to need to. He's prepared his heart with such a soft goodness. He's the kid that looks for the outcast. He's the one that looks for the new kid in class.
Wow.
But God prepared him by way of Zealand because he knows that one day his little brother might have to take care of him. Wow. And you can't take care of somebody if you don't have a soft, good heart.
Well, as you can probably imagine, there is way, 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 way more to the story than we're able to get into. And that's why Jackie has a book called When God Rescripts Your Life. That will tell the whole story, and it is, there's so much in it that will help. If you feel like, you know what, I wish I could rewrite this, you can turn to God and he will rewrite your story. First, I want to ask you to do something. We want to rewrite the stories of some children in Africa who right now, at this very minute, as we're sitting in the studio, are struggling for their next breath simply because they don't have enough to eat. So would you watch this with me?
Every morning, families in rural villages throughout Africa wake up wondering, what will today bring? Floods, civil unrest, a pandemic. Unfortunately, mothers in South Sudan and Angola live with these realities each and every day.
The conditions that we're seeing here in Africa at the moment are just devastating. Not only are we facing the issues of drought in certain of the countries where we're operating, and then in places like South Sudan now, we're suddenly seeing the effects of flooding. We literally have had to lift food in our warehouses, and our staff are bringing boats into the warehouses and filling the boats with food and then taking them out from there to get to other people. In Angola right now, we're seeing our malnutrition clinics fuller than they've ever been. And yet on top of all of that, we now have this COVID pandemic that has caused such a significant additional impact on the children who we're so desperately trying to keep alive and to serve.
No matter what a mother faces, her overriding concern remains, will I be able to feed my child today? Now, even in the midst of the pandemic, our mission teams bravely risk their lives to provide that answer.
People might say, well, how is COVID affected? Are people getting the virus? Are they dying from the virus? Yes, that is happening to an extent. But the reality is that far more children will die as a result of food insecurity. Far more children will die from malnutrition, from poverty-related issues around food and access to food than what will even die from the pandemic, way more. And that is the reality of what we're facing on the ground here. We cannot save the lives in these clinics. We cannot protect these families, and we cannot be a lifeline to these children unless you open your hearts today. Partner with us. Give the best gift that you can give. Give the gift of life by giving the gift of food.
We just love him here at Life. That's Isaac Pretorius. You'll probably remember his dad, Peter Pretorius. He was the one that James and Betty first met with and began to understand the profound need there is in Africa. You know, as you think about your own life and your own children at this moment, there's all sorts of things that go through our head. You know, will my child get this virus? Will my child be able to go back to school? You know, has their normal been shifted to such an extent that it'll never be the way it was? And the truth is, we don't know the answers to all of that. But the thing is, I wanted you to know that at this very moment, there are children and mothers, and the only thought of that mother isn't, will my child get this virus? It's like, will my child live till tomorrow? Because I have got no food to give them. And that is why it's one of our main passions here at Life. We have made a commitment to our people on the ground, and Isaac is one of those, that we will provide enough food for 350,000 children this year. And I remember hearing this from Betty's own heart and also seeing it on one of our pieces, that her prayer was, never let the line of children waiting for one meal a day be longer than the food we have. And you've helped us with that. And we are profoundly grateful. But we're coming again and we're asking again, because the need at the moment is even worse. When children have nothing to eat, their immune system is so compromised. They have no strength to fight off anything. So the least we can do is make sure that they have food. And I'm asking you today to join us. $30 will provide food for three children for three whole months. I mean, what can you do with $30 these days? The fact that you could feed three children for three whole months, and believe me, that turns that child from death to life. From that first bowl of food and those little orange bowls, the children begin to get the nourishment that they need to be able to grow up, to be able to fight off viruses. All we're asking is, will you give them a fighting chance? So please join with us. $50, if you're able to do that, will feed five children for 3 months. $100 feeds 10 children. We have sat with these moms. We have wept with these moms. We have prayed with these moms. But we've told these moms that we're coming home and we're going to share their need with our partners, and that we know in your heart that you will respond. If you've given before, would you consider giving a little bit more this year? The need is great. They've been brought to their knees, just as we have in this nation with this virus, but their knees are not strong enough to hold them. They need us to hold them up. Please make the best gift you can, and do it now in Jesus' name.
Today, on top of the daily fight for life and food, families and children across Africa are now forced to deal with the challenges of a global health crisis. Because of COVID-19, food scarcity has increased drastically, and the fear of dying from lack of food is far greater than the virus itself. Even in these unprecedented times, Mission Feeding won't stop. With your help, Mission Feeding will continue to be a daily source of food, encouragement, and health for the 350,000 children counting on us. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 that will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you 40 Days of Healing Promises. This beautiful hardcover devotional will encourage you in your faith as you dive deep into the healing promises that are yours in Jesus' name. With your gift of $100 or more, please request a Blessings for Your Home bowls and tea towels set. This set of bowls and 2 beautifully designed tea towels will make a wonderful addition to your home and serve as a reminder of your help in blessing others as a friend of life. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
So thank you for that. Keep calling. And Jackie's book is called When God Rescripts Your Life, Seeing Value, Beauty, and Purpose When Life is Interrupted. Jackie, thank you for sharing some of your story.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's a wonderful story. And if you ever feel like your life has been interrupted, most of us are going to face that at some point, but God will meet you at that intersection and rescript your life. So from all of us here at Life, God bless. We love you.
And I will work on forgiving you, but I will not share you. And I really thought our marriage was over.
Lisa Turkhurst, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.